Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I mean, my goodness, the quote of the weekend, and it's nowhere to be found here with what Matt's doing. I mean, Matt's so depressed about the Eagles that he's just lost track of life. Did you hear Charles Barkley on Friday?
Where was he on?
He was on with Mickelson on the Koepka DeChambeau match.
I did not.
Then you missed a show. You know, you're messing around doing whatever it is you're doing.
I'm sure it was a show.
Meanwhile, you know, Jack and I are watching like real sports. All right, so. Okay. You know, the suit's putting together a menu of mini hot dogs with no mustard. I don't get what's going on with the place, to be honest with you.
That's as bad as Jalen Reagor trying to catch the football.
But again, he's your guy. You drafted him. I didn't draft him.
Yeah,
you did.
Stupidly.
Well, hey, I told you not to draft him. Nobody, you know, what did I say? They drafted him.
Yeah, exactly. And I was right with you.
It's a bad pick.
Absolutely.
All these teams draft guys where they got like 5,000 miles of video of them, right? And they can't believe that when they get them that the video matches up to the guy that they got. Really?
And his head coach is still defending him the next day, says he gives the team the best chance to win. Yo, Earth to Nick, do me a favor. And the rest of the coaching staff... Go to the chalkboard and just write 500 times, Jalen Reagor stinks.
Yeah, but to be honest with you, you know, he probably, of all the guys they have, he probably is one of the three best wideouts they have.
False. Devontae Smith, Quez Watkins, Dallas Goedert, the Boogeyman, anybody else.
Yeah, but Goddard's a tight end. Okay, Goddard's not a wide receiver.
Kenny Gainwell you can put in the slot.
Kenny Gainwell's a running back.
Yeah, but you can put him in the slot.
I mean, I'm talking about, like, wide receivers. Yeah, I can tell you, believe me, like, I've never seen Kenny Gainwell play. I did a Kenny Gainwell game. Did not walk out of there going, oh, man, how about him? I didn't walk away that day feeling that way.
You still would have a better chance to win putting him in the slot and putting Reagor on the bench.
I'm just saying, Rager's not good. But on that team, he might be one of your three best receivers. Yikes. Not good. The suit's playing games. Says this will be festive and fun. Oh, no, we're not going to... Oh, no. He's got a sack race in here. Wait, what's going on? What are we doing?
Just come to my aunt's in the Poconos. You'll be fine.
There's a three-legged race. what are we doing here?
Listen, you'll have to put up with me because that'll be the same time as Eagles-Washington that week. I was hoping that wouldn't be the case, but that's how it is. So, as long as you can put up with that, come to my aunt's. We'll be good.
Actually... Just watching you overreact, everything would be entertainment unto itself. So the quote of the weekend. They're trying to talk to DeChambeau about, what the heck is... Mickelson brought up something called theta. You know, and you know how I feel about this stuff. And to me, it's all mumbo-jumbo, you know what I mean? I mean, I have always thought that. It's like, really? Like... What do you think? Before I do a broadcast on 60 stations in SiriusXM, do you think I go into some theta moment? What the hell are you talking about? You just sit there, turn on the mic, and start talking. It's like that's why I prepared all week, isn't it? Okay. But he's talking about how, you know, to relax himself and to do all this stuff. And Charles is like, he says, man, he says, yoga is a fancy name for stretching. He said that that way it's called yoga, they can charge you more. And analytics is statistics where you give the job to your brother-in-law and you call it analytics so he can have a job.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells found.
I'm telling you, he's not that far off. It's statistics. You just call the analytics or your brother-in-law can have a job. That's all analytics is. Oh, analytics says. Analytics says you could go. You should go for it on every fourth down. Okay? You know how many times people who have put the, who put together that analytic in their lives have gone for it on fourth down? None. They never had to do it in a real application. Oh. You wonder why people who do this stuff for a living sit back and go, really? Nice try. Thanks. I went over to MIT once. You know what I saw up in their national championship area? No banners. All right. They never bring that up, do they? No. All right, time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Leary in motion. The throw goes the other way. Mechie's in. Alabama wins in four overtimes. The Crimson Tide pull it off in the fourth quarter and four extra sessions.
And Brad will be our guest on the show on Thursday. Preview the SEC title game between Georgia and Alabama. College football playoff rankings come out tomorrow. I may not have been able to get Ohio State, Michigan right. I said Ohio State would win by three touchdowns. I missed by a gigantic margin. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, my call screen does not have these people up here, so I am sorry. Mike in Lansdale. Mike, I apologize. My call screen was not working, so I did not see you. You waited too long. My apologies.
That's all right. Depressing weekend between Penn State and Eagles. Steve, you see the team in, during the games and practice. If you were a coach, would you put Caden Wallace, would you leave him at tackle or move him to guard?
No, Pat, you want to put your five best guys out there, and you got Juice at the one guard spot, and Wilson, of course, Wormley was going to be the starter at left. Losing him, I think, hurt a lot. But Wallace at tackle right now is their best option. Now, say, for example, next year, say Juice is the center, right? Then maybe Wallace playing at guard would be a possibility. I'd have to talk to Phil to see if he feels that he moves well enough to play guard. But say he did, then that would open the door for Tangwall to be in there someplace. Because I think I'll tell you, the couple games Tangwall's played so far, I think he's done a pretty good job.
I agree with you. And I spoke to you before about the college playoffs, and I wouldn't mind seeing the committee put a two-loss team in instead of Notre Dame just to make a statement about the conference, because they're putting their whole season on the line with these games, and I'm not saying Notre Dame isn't good. They're a very good team, but if you look at the records now, the season is over. Notre Dame has not beat a winning football team since September. When I say winning, I'm talking about the end of season records. They have not beat a winning team since September. How can you compare them against all these schools that are playing against good competition and then have to play a championship game? And Oklahoma State, in their case, they're in a position where they have to beat Baylor twice in the same year. Baylor's a very good team.
Mike, I think you make all good points, because this is my issue about Notre Dame. And it was not an issue last year, because they did play in the ACC last year, and they played in the ACC title game. My issue with Notre Dame has always been this. Why is everybody else required to risk playing a 13th game while one team sits back and plays 12? I'm sorry, that's just not, I mean, to me, that is something that, if Notre Dame were undefeated, I would have no issue. But they're sitting there with one loss, and I look at them and I'm saying, well, you know, you want everything your own way, so you play 12 games. Fine. But you're telling everybody else, Oklahoma State's coming off an emotional win, and they've got to play Baylor now. Michigan's coming off an emotional win. Now they got to play Iowa. Meanwhile, they're sitting back looking around saying, somebody will lose, we're fine, we'll get in. And I'm with you, Mike. I don't think that's right.
Yeah, it's just hard to compare. I mean, you know, you're talking two different situations. I mean, and not only that, if you look at the last two games they played of the season, they played teams that have a combined record of 6-18.
Right. Yeah. So you've got Alabama, which could be one of those two lost teams. They had to play at Auburn, go four overtimes. Now they have to play Georgia, while Notre Dame sits at home and watches Alabama play Georgia. I mean, everybody's playing but them. Cincinnati's playing Houston. I'm telling you right now, Houston's going to give Cincinnati a game.
Yeah.
That's going to be a really good game between them, between those two teams. So you're talking about Cincinnati is risking it. Michigan is risking it. Okay? Alabama, this is like, you feel like for them, this is a playoff game. Meanwhile, here's a team sitting back like they're the Kansas City Chiefs with the first overall seed and don't have to play this weekend.
Yeah. Got time for another Penn State question?
Of course I do, Mike. Anytime.
Seems like the offensive line is developing a reputation of being, well, when I say mediocre, I'm probably being kind with that. But is that going to make it harder to recruit top four-star and five-star kids to come here because of the line, this reputation with our line?
Well, they've been doing it. I mean, obviously, Tangwall is a highly regarded prospect. We know there's another highly regarded prospect coming in. Wormley was a highly regarded prospect, but he got hurt in the preseason. He was going to start. Nate Bruce was highly regarded, but then ran into a wall, and I think you saw his story today in PennLive.com. So he's going to try and keep his career going, and who knows, maybe he makes his way back here. So they've had some, quote, bad luck there. You know, a guy that came in that was highly regarded, had a heart issue, couldn't play, never got even to practice. I mean, sometimes you hit a spot on the football team like, hey, you got to be kidding me. Because if Wormley had been able to make it, I could tell you the way things were coming together in the preseason, Jack and I thought Wormley, he wouldn't be the best guy over there, it would be Walker, but they solidified each other. We kind of felt like they were getting something going there. And with all due respect to Wilson, Wilson can fill a lot of different spots for you, but Wormley was obviously the better player. Not having him really did hurt. Wallace has got to be more aggressive. I mean, he has got to be more aggressive. He's got to attack more. You know, play with more of an edge out there. Scruggs, to his credit. Now, Juice plays with an edge. And Miranda was banged up almost all season. So, I mean, you know, we never really talked about that, but, you know, he was banged up most of the year.
I feel the same way with aggressiveness about Brandon Smith. He has all the talent in the world, but doesn't seem like he embraces the contact.
Yeah, you know, I'd say at first I thought it was just the change in traffic pattern. He had a couple of games where he did really well with it, but, you know, but again, and then yet you look at Mel Kiper's board. Mel's got him the 23rd prospect in the draft.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
I was taken aback when I saw that. And I'm not going to get into what we talked about, but Brent and I did talk about it.
Be honest with you, I think Curtis Jacobs is a better player.
And Jacobs, fortunately, is a sophomore, so he's not going anywhere. And Jacobs, I think, is a heck of a player.
Right.
Plays the pass really well. He's going to be interesting because with Ellis Brooks having to go, and Brooks played had a really good year. Jacobs is a candidate to move inside there to take Brooks' spot. That is a possibility down the road.
Okay. And with if Jair Brown comes back with him and Keaton Ellis, I think the safety position will be in good shape there.
Now, that you're right. If Jair Brown comes back, the safety position and Jalen Reed – being a really good third is that, because Reed is an outstanding prospect, Mike. Really good. And I think they would like to see Keaton Ellis move into Jaquan Brisker's spot. That's what they would like to see. If they can get, if Brown comes back, that makes a big difference back there to solidifying the secondary.
Okay, thanks a lot, and enjoy your work. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Mike. Appreciate you saying that. All right. Is there anything you want to say about the Eagles before we move on? I think right about now would be a good time for like some therapy for you. So,
no, I think we're good at the moment.
You sure?
Yes.
I thought the 9 interceptions were really good plays.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I praised him a lot this year. As you know. Jalen Hurts.
Yes.
But yesterday wouldn't be one of them.
No.
And look, let's pretend Daniel Jones played great. Oh.
No.
Okay. You're walking out of there going, that's the winning quarterback? Really?
The Giants tried everything they can to give the game away, and the Eagles still couldn't do it.
I mean, that's when you know you're watching bad football.
Yes, it was a very bad football game yesterday.
But look at the big stars in the game. And I'm talking about, I don't mean that game, any game. You know, that we get shoved down our throats all the time. You got to watch Aaron Donald. Well, I watched Aaron Donald yesterday. Guess what I saw? For like the fourth game I've watched him this year, nothing. Okay? And well, he gets double-teamed. What, Alan Page didn't? Bob Lilly didn't? What do you think? They got blocked one-on-one all of them? T.J. Watt, the only time he hit Burrow yesterday was blocking him on an interception.
He now he's on the COVID list.
Oh, Watt's on the COVID list?
Yes, he just got placed a few minutes ago. Steelers announced.
Yeah, but you've got to be able to look at the positives on anything, which I have the ability to do. Every check is cleared. Jalen Ramsey. Like, they sent Devontae Adams in motion. He's like, he doesn't want any part of me. Adams ended up with over 100 yards receiving, and Rodgers faked him out. Okay, big money guy, big mouth, a lot of nothing. I mean, really, the best defensive back in the building yesterday, right, was Charles Woodson, who had his number retired. Hey, Jalen Ramsey should beg to be Charles Woodson. You know, the Boses had another Bosa day where nothing happened. A lot of money being thrown around for a lot of PFF guys. Oh, look at their grades. Oh, look. Okay? Okay? Say hi to mom when you come out of the basement. All right, back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Roethlisberger with the time. That's intercepted. Here goes a terrific Hilton pick, and that is six. A pick six thrown by Ben Roethlisberger to his former teammate, Mike Hilton. Holy Toledo!
So the Steelers make one mistake, and you have to play it back over and over again?
I'm keeping it even. The Steelers were just as bad as the Eagles yesterday. It was an ugly day of football for Pennsylvania.
That was just... But I thought Watt looked really good on the block of Burrow. Really good. I was impressed.
Oh, my almighty!
Because that's the only time he got close to him. I don't even think he got close to him in the handshake line. Time to shake hands. Oh, and Watt missed him again. All right, so. Wow, not good. But he got a lot of money. What a year he's had. It's historic. Yeah, sure it is. Deacon Jones was historic. Now, he did some things that wouldn't be legal today, like the head slap and things like that. So should I bring a couple of different varieties of mustard to this?
I like Gouldens.
Gouldens?
Yes.
And how about Grey Poupon?
Oh, yeah.
Because, I could stop at the suits thing first, then go to your place.
Perfect.
I mean, is Mertzi going to this thing?
Unconfirmed.
Well, how personal the invitation is, you're gonna tell why there's going to be a lot of unconfirms. It starts out with, welcome to my shindig. What does that mean? Is there going to be a band? I see nothing.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, whatever it may be. It's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Let's see. Jalen Berger, who 2 years ago led Wisconsin in rushing, and then started the season at Wisconsin, did not play against Penn State, eventually opted out, and now is transferring to Michigan State. In August, two things we did not expect to be talking about. A, Lincoln Riley no longer being at Oklahoma, and B, Spencer Rattler no longer being at Oklahoma. Things we did not expect to be talking about in August. It's kind of amazing, isn't it? Things change so quickly. Ooh, the Pirates signed Jose Quintana. I think that the things have changed in the Central Division there.
Oh, my almighty!
Wow. I don't even know if Bob Nutting knows who Jose Quintana is. What? Thought I'd bring it up. Bob, he's a pitcher. What? I've told you that story before about a team. I'll leave the name of the team out of it. But they really wanted to do a salary dump on a guy badly. So the GM comes in one day and he says to the ownership, we did it, we traded him. He mentioned which team they traded him to. He says, oh, man, that is so great. Oh man, that really helps us a lot. He said, well, you want to know who we got in return? He goes, what? They gave us players? Yeah. It's one of those moments you get worried.
A little bit.
It wasn't one of your teams.
That is somewhat surprising for one of them.
But it was not one of your teams. Okay?
Okay.
Just want to make sure you know that. Rod Carey is out at Temple, 3 years, 12 and 20. He's done. Let's see. I mean, I don't know who they're going to get that's better. Do you?
No.
But I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know the internal workings of the Temple football program either. I mean, I suppose I could pull Arnold Abicati aside and have a conversation with him about it. He'd give me a full rundown. I expected. The move by Florida to get Billy Napier, that one I did expect. Never in a million years thought about Lincoln Riley and USC. I thought if he was going to leave, it was going to be LSU. Wrong on that. And I don't know who's out there. Now, let me give you one here. Bob Stoops, by the way, is coaching the bowl game for Oklahoma. His brother Mark might be a candidate from Kentucky.
That has been the big name.
And Rhett Lashley, by the way, will be the new coach at SMU, Miami's offensive coordinator.
I also don't rule out Bob Stoops himself.
You know, here's my question. I think one of the reasons you get out of it is you don't want to recruit anymore.
That is a perfectly legitimate thought there. I would agree. Especially nowadays with the transfer portal.
Now, for a not an upper echelon program, but if David Cutcliffe still wants to coach, talk with him. He's out at Duke. But this now all goes back to what I talked about in the summertime when it came to Texas and Oklahoma. What did I say over and over again? What's the worst thing you can do?
Panic.
Yes. What did the college landscape do?
They panicked big time.
Where's the leadership? You look around, guys. You know, you don't want to be Kevin Bacon in Animal House, where you know everything's all hell's breaking loose, and you're saying stay calm, blah 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 blah. But you can see when it's all. You got to use common sense. Who's used any common sense with this thing? Nobody. Let's form an alliance. I don't know about the 12-team playoff, but just guys. Slow down. Okay? Don't form any alliances. Fight for a 12-team playoff because you could get 3 to 4 teams in it from your league. You have 25% of the television sets in your footprint. Oh, and by the way, okay, the way the weekend played out, Lincoln Riley wants nothing to do with the SEC. He opted out. So now Oklahoma is going to the SEC, and we're not sure who they have. And Texas is a mess. Out of the 14 current coaching positions in the SEC, you know how many have changed in 10 years? Or excuse me, in 3 years? You know how many have changed in 3 years? 3 years. 10. 10 of the 14 coaching positions have changed in 3 years in the SEC. Really? I mean, did you realize that?
No.
That's why I'm here.
There you go.
Also to complain about having only mini hot dogs at the holiday party. And I have to bring my own mustard.
You might want to do the same thing for Texas and OU because
I got to bring my own mustard to that too.
Beginning of the end for them. Oh yes, because they're going to have nothing once they join the SEC.
Okay, now let's get to Texas A&M. And I am not saying, okay, I am not saying that Kevin Sumlin's a better coach than Jimbo Fisher. But boy, oh boy, oh boy. It is interesting when you look at the two. Remember, Texas A&M could not wait to get rid of Kevin Sumlin. Okay? Couldn't wait. They got a gold mine in Jimbo. To their credit, they bid against themselves and gave him a $2 million a year raise. Now, how's Jimbo done there? Now, Jimbo had a big win this year at home against Alabama. No getting around it. And, but that's been it. That's been it. There was a great comparison between what Kevin Sumlin has done versus what Jimbo's done. And it's almost remarkable when you look at it. Let's see. I'm just trying to find the exact numbers here because you're going to get a kick out of this. Because remember, Jimbo is the big name, right? He's the big name. Where is this thing here? Here we go. I think I found it. Come on. I'm almost got here. My apologies. That's my fault. And it's stunning when you look at the numbers over the years. Where the heck is this thing? Let's see if this is it. Because I think when you sit back and go, you've got to be kidding me, really? So far they paid Jimbo $30 million. And they paid Sumlin in the same period of time 30. Oh, where is this thing? My apologies. I had it. That's not it. I mean, because that was the whole thing. They were going to fire him and bring in Jimbo. Well, they fired him and they brought in Jimbo. Where the heck is this thing? I was just reading it this afternoon. It's an entire article that's based just on that, which was really good. Let's see if it's in the news here. Renewed rivalry with Texas, don't really care. Reflections, 10 years since Justin Tucker's kick, blah, blah, don't care. Send off for Orgeron, don't care. And remember, he inherited Kellen Mond at quarterback. And by the way, Mond, to his credit, shined under Jimbo. I feel awful about this, because this is really actually kind of enlightening. Here we go. This might be it. Here we go. Ding, 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 ding. Oh, come on. Okay. What the heck is this darn thing? I apologize. It was really like one of those like stunning stat deals where you sat back and went, wow, really? SECrant.com. I can't believe that. I mean, that's what we ought to have. We ought to have MacatrilloRant.com. we ought to .com you. What do you think?
Sign me up.
Yeah. All right, I'll get that for you in a moment. We'll take a break here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The weather is getting cooler and the leaves are changing in central PA. Hi, this is Season from Purdy Insurance. If your current agent is falling short, it's time to give Purdy Insurance a call. We're a local, family-owned independent agency ready to find the right insurance to fit your needs. You can call us at 570-286-5855, stop in our office on Market Street in Sunbury, or head to our website at purdyinsurance.com to find out what we can do for you.
Yeah, I found it. You're going to love this. Through 48 games. Okay. Regular season wins for Texas A&M in Kevin Sumlin's first 4 years. 10, 8, 7, and 8. Jimbo Fisher, whom they fired Sumlin for. 8, 7, 8, and 8. Well, okay then.
That's amazing.
Oh, we're not done. First 48 games, head coach Texas A&M, Jimbo, 34 wins. Kevin Sumlin, 34 wins. Ranked wins. Jimbo Fisher has 7 ranked wins. Kevin Sumlin, how many do you have?
7.
9.
You can't make this
ranked
stuff up.
Ranked wins on the road. Kevin Sumlin at 5. How many does Jimbo have so far?
I'll go with 2.
Too high.
None.
Exactly. 0. Salary through 48 games. Jimbo, $30 million. Sumlin, $13 million.
Yeah, that's bad.
Here's the tweet. Is now the time Jimbo Fisher enters the bushes and emerges with a purple LSU polo, smiling and drinking a beer. All right.
That would not surprise me.
Tom Allen is staying at Indiana. Pay cut. Offensive coordinator Nick Sheridan let go. So, there you go. What's the Washington and Seattle tonight?
Yes, that is Monday Night Football. Not a
outside
great matchup.
Outside of Rodgers, anybody else watching?
I'll probably tune in.
Can I say this about Taylor Heinicke? He's not bad.
Yeah, he's actually doing pretty well. I'm very concerned because if Washington wins tonight, they're in the thick of things for the playoff hunt still.
I mean, he's not bad. Taylor Heinicke is not bad. Oh, Rube's on Thursday, huh?
Rube is Thursday, yes.
Bet you can't wait for that.
Yes.
In fact, I may have the two of you in. You may have you interview him. That way it'll sound like two people commiserating. Feel like I'm at the bar just sitting there at a stool just listening.
He's had some very interesting columns the last 24 hours, so I'm yes, I'm very excited to have him on.
Well, of course he has, because Rube is brilliant at what he does. Rube is brilliant.
However, I don't agree with one of them, but we can save it for later.
That they should give Jalen Reagor more money in a long-term contract?
No. That's an insult to Rube.
Just asking. I don't know.
It has to deal with the evaluation of Jalen Hurts at this point.
Well, it's interesting because, obviously, let's take Lamar Jackson for a moment. The Ravens won last night. He threw four picks. Do you know what his numbers are for the year? 15 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. I mean, the 12 interceptions is a big number, Matt.
Yeah.
That's huge. I mean, 15 and 12 in today's game? Boy, you don't find guys, except for that one season Jameis Winston threw 30, you don't usually find guys throwing a lot of interceptions in the NFL these days. Everything's like, hey, check down. Look what I did, coach. I checked it down. Check down. Yeah, checked it down. I checked it down. It's like, okay, great. I got it. You checked it down. It makes NFL football boring, but they're all trying to avoid the big mistake. Checked it down. Good for you. That's nice. We didn't get any. It was third down and four. I checked it down. We get it's fourth and one. Did you think about throwing it past the six? Well, no. I didn't want to throw an interception, so I checked it down. Oh, really? What would Unitas have done? Not that! What would Montana have done? Not that! Your guy Wentz looked good yesterday, though.
He did, for the most part, minus a turnover that I thought he would have against that Tampa front seven.
Well, he wasn't out there giving up 38. He scored 31.
No, he did. Other than that, he's been good.
I mean, the guy you kept scored seven.
True, but they're both teams are relatively the same anyway. In terms of record.
I don't think. I think Indianapolis is actually pretty good.
Still 6-5 or 6-6, whatever they are now.
Yes, yesterday's a day where if they're not playing Tampa, they beat almost anybody else. Indianapolis is playing pretty well right now. Because remember, what did they get off to? They were, 1-5? 1-4?
Yeah, 1-4.
Yeah. The Eagles would lose them by two touchdowns.